Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The name that's missing, Yeggs say Messiah, got it. Where's Mountie? Why no Mountie against a lefty? Are we seeing the writing on the wall with no Mountie? I mean, could something be wrong here? I mean, then again, how do you go to Kobe Mayo after he's, you know, hit two bombs in Toronto at three hits last night, telling me he's not playing?
It is comforting that we're here. They were just mathematically eliminated last night, and we still have a reason to gripe about the daily lineup.
That's what we do.
That is comforting. We'll always have that.
Tyler Wells looking for win number two on the hill for the Orioles. 2-10 coming up, first pitch. Bird going for the sweep, and then Yankees coming to town for a big four-game series for them as they're trying to hold off the Red Sox for the top wild card in the American League, if not make a late run at Toronto, who's won six in a row. But Nolan, how are you feeling over there
today? I'm feeling good over here. You know, you posed the question earlier about blame for the Orioles season. How do we end up here? And I just have a hard time moving off of Mike Elias as the main source of that. Absolutely, it was a collection of errors, if you will. But he's kind of at the forefront for me. And as we move forward with what is going to be a very new front office, you're hiring a new GM. Elias's title has changed. Rubenstein, another year under his belt.
Brought the dude in from Washington here a couple of weeks ago.
Right, so expansion, more voices in there. But as far as Rubenstein in particular, they spent the money on Sam Basayo. So that was this big celebratory contract, not just because you locked up a young star, but it was the first time they've done it in the Mike Elias era. One of the biggest contracts in Orioles history as well. Recent Orioles history, that is. So I'm perusing social media here, and I saw Andy Koska tweet this out. Quote, David Rubenstein recently did a podcast interview, CBS News' The Takeout podcast, and he was talking about the Sam Basayo contract, and I found this quote pretty interesting. Said here, quote, "We gave him a long-term contract. He's going to be here for quite some time. The price seemed high to me at the time for a person who only played four Major League Baseball games, but he did a great job, had the walk-off homer the other night, and we're very happy with the arrangement." Now, Rubenstein by no means has presented himself as a baseball man, right?
He's pretty much stated that he defers to the authorities.
Correct. A shrewd businessman, though. So, I mean, he has to have some wits about him. But to me, this comment was a little interesting. I don't want to dig too deep into it because I think ultimately, he's happy with the Basayo deal. He signed off on it, obviously. But to say that, well, I thought that was a lot of money for a guy that's only played a few games. Well, that's kind of how it works in baseball. You know, you're looking around the baseball landscape, and the reason that so many Orioles fans were growing frustrated with the lack of long-term deals for young players is because you see it. The Red Sox with Roman Anthony. I mean, I could go on and on and on. The Braves have had tons of success with it over the years. All these other teams have no issues locking up their young talent.
Bobby Witt.
There you go. And a bargain at that.
Jackson Merrill.
Exactly. And I think that's the big thing on top of all of it is that it not only is it the security of keeping them long term in town, but that these are or should be viewed as bargain deals. You're you know, giving them that contract up front, sort of investing. So Rubenstein, not a sportsman, not a baseball guy, but he is a businessman. So I feel like he should be able to see the parallels here. This is an investment. You're making an investment that you think is going to pay off big time. But where this is a sticking point for me is, again, this whole dynamic between him and Elias, and whoever the new GM is. Where does his voice take over? Rubenstein, that is. When say things aren't going the right direction. We get another slow offseason. There isn't a big splash in terms of pitching or just a lack of moves in general. Does he have the ability to then go to Elias, go to the new GM and say, hey, let's get cracking. What's going on? What's the story? You know, I mean, just because he doesn't have that baseball experience, how does he walk that tightrope, I guess, of not having the baseball expertise, but still having to be the end-all be-all, the final voice?
I have two questions.
Sure.
To not answer your question, but who decided to fire Brandon Hyde?
Mm-hmm.
And who convinced David Rubenstein to give Sammy Bassaio the money when, as you said on the whatever podcast it was, that he didn't, he's like, wow, that's kind of a lot of money for a guy that's played four games here, and that could turn out to be a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
But who convinced him to sign off on these decisions? Was it Elias? Does he have that sort of power? Or is it someone within his ownership group that might be going, hey, you know, I'm not exactly a baseball expert. I'm still against firing Brandon Hyde, by the way, because it cost me booze. Did I ever pay? I don't think I did.
No,
did
you paid.
I? Oh,
you
I
paid.
Did? Oh, word. Yeah. I know I didn't pay for something, but I don't care.
Ray in Baltimore?
Yeah. Oh, right. Sorry, Jack Daniels coming, Ray. But who convinced him to make these decisions if he's not the guy?
Right.
Because sooner or later, you got to, you know I own stuff, and just because I own stuff, I think I'm smarter. Hey, I bought a restaurant. I have no idea how to run a restaurant. I'm going to hire my friends to run my restaurant, and I'm going to let them pick their friends to run my kitchen. All of a sudden, your restaurant's out of business in 6 months. Mm-hmm. Who convinced him to make those moves?
Well, for the manager, the firing of Hyde, I'd have to think that at least some voice out of the ownership group had to be a big part of that, because Mike Elias had spent the prior 2 weeks going everywhere and anywhere, anyone that would have him, saying, this is our guy, we stand by him, you know, he's not going anywhere. And those were interviews that Elias sought out himself. You know, he did almost like a press tour, like he was releasing a book. But, you know,
and remember, the day after that he got fired, all the owners were there at that game that night, remember, and it was, was it Batista or Cano that threw the ball away? It was embarrassing loss.
No, oh, the Friday, next day, yeah, the Friday, the day Hyde's last game.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was a terrible loss.
They had lost to the Nationals.
They had like 20 hits and no runs.
Yeah, and then the next day, after they had fired Brandon Hyde, mm-hmm. and Mike Elias was nowhere to be found except for a press release, same with David Rubenstein, the players themselves. Kyle Gibson pitched that day and got his brains bashed in the first inning, who, by the way, has since retired from Major League Baseball. Adley Rutschman looked like he was going to start crying. Like, hey, good luck tonight, tough L. Oh, by the way, we fired Brandon Hyde, who's had your back since you were called up to the Major Leagues back in 2000. And they're left to address the media. And then Manzolino's first game, they get clobbered, and he's got to address the media after the game. Mike Elias did. When he met in Milwaukee, I believe it was, on that Wednesday, they were on the road, and it was only the people that traveled, the Rocks and the Rich Dubrovs, those sorts of guys. It wasn't a Camden Yards media throng. It was, oh, we're on the road. This is 10 minutes before the game. So explain why you did this again. Manzolino was thrown into a tough spot from the day he took that job, probably reluctantly, too.
Yep. No doubt about it. And he's grown. Tremendous.
I'm cool with Manzo.
There was, you know, the fun we had with the comments he made early on, but
points.
You can see just in his postgame, his pregame press conferences, there's just a much more comfortable guy sitting there, a guy that actually feels like he has his feet under him, whereas before, I mean, he's flying blind. Even though he's been around baseball his entire life, his dad was a manager, mm-hmm. you know, that you're in that world, you know, and I think a lot of people just assume that, oh, it's easy. He's been around the game. He knows all the guys. It's not like he's an outsider.
He was a player, too. It's not like he was just the bat boy who ascended to this. He was a ball player.
But there's so much that comes with that manager title that you probably doesn't even cross your mind when you're a bench coach or a third base coach. I mean, even just taking heat for losses, fair or unfair. You know, we lost a close game. All of a sudden, your bullpen decisions, now they're under the microscope. Mm-hmm. They could have been the right choice. We could have been sitting in the same spot and made the same decision, but we're going to talk about it the next day.
No doubt. And I like Manzo, probably not going to get the full-time job, but at the very least, I think he has earned the courtesy of a real interview, not a cursory, hey, we're obligated to talk to you, that he can go in there and maybe get some support from the players. I don't know if it's going to help. We'll see.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of names that have been floated out there. Who's going to take over? And as Rich Dubroff said, and I agree, it's going to be a very desirable job for someone that wants to come in and be the skipper of a Major League Baseball team. But do you want to go Stephen Vogt right out of the recently retired, taking over Cleveland, which has worked out well for them? Or the Davis Ross in Chicago, which did not work out well for them at all? But when we come back, we're back to the Ravens and a coach that everyone loves. John Harbaugh. We're going to hear from him as he met with the media a couple of days ago. Open locker room today. We got buy or sell. Jim Hunter talks Orioles. NFL launch at 1. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. His Steelers look great in week one, at least offensively, but they're 1-1 because that defense, they don't look all that good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.